The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Paul, he's Ronnie, and my 108 points out of 108 points has hit a bump in the road. A never say die attitude, just like the Goonies, might just go a long way. And James McPake still loves celebrating a draw at Tannadice, it would seem. 11 games, nay wins. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, time-wasting bridey bastards get bitten in the arse. The rumour mill, the women's team, are 8-0 of Dundee United, and on this day with the Arab Archive. It's all coming up on episode 203 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
Hi, this is Morris Malpas, and you're listening to the Dode Fox Podcast.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast. With the I need to record the podcast early so I can watch some girl v girl action, Paul McNichol, and the hoping he means it's nothing dodgy like watching the Red Shoe Diaries back in the day, Ronnie Costello. What's this action you're going to witness today, Mr. McNichol?
Oh, that's on the telly box.
It is.
United Ladies, so...
On Alba,
yes.
So, by the time this comes out, the game's done. Mm-hmm. Score prediction. Hello, you'll tell about the women's team. They're playing part of Thistle. Mm-hmm. Score prediction right now.
2-0 Thistle.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Brian Graham's going to kick your...
So might Graham,
huh? Abdies. Yeah, well, that's true, actually, yes. Two Grahams.
Exactly.
I'll be kicking you in. Right, lots to get through, as always. Paul's already mentioned it. He's 108 points. 108 points has done it, dusted. But we will get to that. Thank you very much to everyone who has dropped by the new website this week. It is much appreciated. DodeFoxPodcast.com. Everything's on there. Links to episodes. You can buy some merch. You can do stuff. And you can leave us voicemails like Paddy did during the week.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. Oh. Super Jack Walton and go.
There you go.
He's a good keeper.
You can leave us a voicemail anytime you like.
Jack Walton's a better keeper than Paddy is a singer. That's fair to say.
Oh well.
In fact, Mark Barraghetti might be a better keeper than Paddy is a singer. Sorry, Paddy. But fair play, and thank you very much for dropping us a voicemail.
Wow. Right, before we start, our podcast pal Tom Mackay lost his dad this week. We, of course, send our love thoughts, prayers to Tom and his family at this time. He sent me a DM yesterday, mm-hmm. right? And obviously, it was a really nice thing that the club put the picture up and stuff like that. But he sent me a DM with a couple of lines about his dad that I'm just going to share with you now, right? He says, my dad was a diehard United fan. He had a season ticket for decades. He followed him home, away, all over Europe. He went to every cup final. United were ever in. Which is obviously brilliant, mm-hmm. right? And he's obviously had a lot of heartbreak in that time, all the cup finals and everything like that.
But he was invested.
The last line was just simply, he even had to take a half day off his work to drown his sorrows when United sold Andy Gray.
He was heavily invested in United. Yeah, it's a sad day for Tommy, obviously, and his family. And as you said, like we can only keep him in our thoughts.
And it just shows, like, some people just, a player just does that to you.
Of course, yeah.
Especially then. I mean, we spoke to Andy Gray, we've heard a lot of stories from the older gentlemen mm-hmm. and women of mm-hmm. fans, that when he went, it was like...
It was a searing, huh? Yeah. Like, my Andy Gray would be Billy Dodds. Some other people's Andy Gray would be GMS and Stuart Armstrong. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's always a time when you follow your club when a player leaves and you're just absolutely spewing. Leo's was Cammy Bell. Well, he was young, he was impressionable, he was a mascot, he'd come out the tunnel with Cammy Bell, there was a wee bit of a connection, and then he left.
Let's rewind. Andy Gray, Billy Dodds, GMS and Stuart Armstrong.
Yeah.
And we've just thrown Cammy Bell.
Well, but that was a sign of the times, Rondo. That's how far the once mighty had fallen. Okay.
I mean, I did not think that was a sentence I needed to hear today, but there we are. There we are. We'll start quickly with the rumour mill before we get into the match. Emi Niskanen, looks like he's off to Exeter City for £150,000.
Yeah, it does look to be that way. I'm not sure if there's a hold-up or anything, but I would imagine that'll happen this week some point. He goes with the best wishes. You know, he's no everybody's cup of tea. But if he was half as good as he was enthusiastic, then you would still want him around. But I think shortcomings were there for all to see. But he never lacked heart. He never lacked fight. Maybe a bit of ability. Certainly an end product. But he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. But that doesn't really cut it when you're trying to get to a championship, obviously, in the eyes of the manager.
No, and it's another player that we obviously apparently scouted for a long time. We've been mm-hmm. a fee for him, and mm-hmm. it just never got him. I think he had some high moments. Don't get me wrong. I think there were some real moments, but I think he has struggled. I would have probably liked to seen him in the championship because his versatility is really good. But again, it comes down to probably money, wants to still be in the national team mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And it might be difficult being in the second tier.
Yeah.
But then if you look at Exeter City.
I was about to say, like that national team thing, I'm not sure how much I read into that because he's going to Exeter City likely. And what are they, a League One team?
Mm-hmm.
How many Finnish internationalists have played in League One? I've no idea the answer to that question, but I don't know if it'll hamper him if he had stayed with United or no. But he obviously doesn't fit into the manager's plans. It's unfortunate. I think from his point of view, he's probably never had a run in his preferred position, like whatever that position may be. You know, as you say, he is quite versatile, and he's probably the sort of guy that doesn't moan when you get right. I mean, you're left back, they're right, you're right wing, or what? He just gets on with it, and that's obviously hats off to that attitude, but. You just always felt he gave you everything there, but you were wanting a wee bit more.
Mm. There was a report in one of the papers that he was down in Exeter doing the deal.
Mm-hmm.
At that same time, a pal of mine had seen him running along the Kingsway.
Excellent, yeah. But maybe, well, Kenny's fast.
See the story during the week when he went down and took training for a local team.
Yes, yeah, that was class.
Brilliant.
And that's what I mean about it. He genuinely is one of the nicest footballers that I've ever met. But give me a team of bastards, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. The good type of bastard.
Yes.
No, the absolute bastards.
Nah, I'm not wanting to live in Ronnie Costello's running about for my team.
Fair play. Absolute fair play. That was kind of the only sort of rumour that come up, but we will get to sort of maybe what's still to come over the next few weeks. But we were up to our second match. You were 3 points out, 108 was your goal going into the game.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe, I said it at the time, you know, last week, I've said it during the week as well, to people that we should never fear any team this season because I think that puts a negative mindset into you and stuff like that. But the fair number going to be the visitors, and they were on the back of a decent win. Last week, the only change to the team probably forced, as always, would be just now. You win 4-0, I'm not sure you go and make a raft of changes, but Ross Docherty would miss out through injury, which meant that Sheep come back and went right back, and Liam Grimshaw into the midfield. You must have felt confident going into the game.
Relatively confident, yeah. Obviously, it's no like you just touched on there. There wasn't any changes that we would have made on the back of what we saw at Gayfield the week before, and in the back of my mind, like I suspected that Docherty, even though like he's no uprooting trees and he's no doing things that are spectacular during the 90 minutes, I think he is the sort of guy and the sort of influence that he's got in the team that will be missed when it's no there. And I think that proved to be the case yesterday.
100%. Just as the game was about to kick off, one thing I could take my eyes off was that Dunfermline goalkeeper top.
It was horrendous.
I'm not even sure it's that good.
I think he had an issue with his socks, the hell gammon, because he kept fucking pulling them up and rolling them down and busting the boot with them. Just swung for the laddie.
But the worst thing was, I realised it was an area top and I thought, oh no.
Yeah, it wasn't a very nice like, but that was the least of our worries. What about the display team again?
Super.
You must have got an awfully good view of it.
Mm.
I've got a wee story about it.
Cool.
I was minding my own business, just at my chair. And one of the display team members, one of the older boys, came up and says, right, you've moaned about this before, you're Perto at the day. And I was like, oh, whoa, I've not moaned about anything. I can't speak highly enough of what you guys do. He's like, no, you always say you want to be Perto. And I was in that moment, I was thinking, today, have I ever mentioned that I want to be Perto? Like, I'm proud to be a Perto because I am under it. I'm there. I'm part of it when I look at the photo. But anyway. I was throwing all the excuses. I can't go, mate. I've got my young lad. Bring him. But what about this? No, it's fine. But I'll be too tall. I'll be in somebody's van. No, it's bigger than you. So I had to go. So like, I went and I was on the very end. of where the tunnel was. So I was holding the last part of it. Leo was the one just in. But again, like, I couldn't see what it was, but it's over and over, we will follow you, wasn't it? I was obviously able to turn around and see the one that was on pulleys this time, yeah. The fan with the scarf. It's amazing, like, what these guys do.
I think,
amazing.
I mean, they're probably right. You have moaned about it, but I think the only thing is you've said is because you're under it.
Can't see it.
Yes, I think that's it. Let me tell you. Pretty much moaning.
Let me tell you, see when you're hudding a pole at the side of it, you still can't see it. You're just trying to hud your bit, keep your thing fucking the way it should be.
So basically, the next time the display team do something, you have to go and stand on the halfway line looking at it.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Dunfermline end or something.
That's a cracker. No, I never actually realised you were on the end of it. And I do always like to look for a spare prick, right enough.
But, and there he was.
There you see it.
There he was, holding the fort.
But I did, because it obviously, when it comes out, it's that... I mean, I've seen that clubs sometimes they'll show what it is, and I quite like the fact that we never do. And when I got in, I'd read obviously there was the display team were going to be doing stuff, and I got in and saw the flags on the seats, and I think the first thing I'm going, is that it? And then as it goes on, you're thinking, there's no danger, that's it. We're not just putting flags, like. And then obviously you see things starting to get rolled out a little bit.
And it was amazing because I says, I'm panicking. Like, I'm doing is hurting the pole, but I'm like, when do we start doing this? Because the things that they were carrying out, they looked huge. They looked absolutely massive. And I was like, when do we start? 1457. And I'm like, it's 1453. Is that going to be enough time? They're like, that's fine. I'm like... It's 14:55, boys. You want to start unrolling? No, it's fine. We've got 2 minutes. I'm like, Jesus, what have they come in? So, what have they come in quick?
Welcome to basically what we deal with on a match day. Like, match day is so timed, it's unbelievable. There's a countdown to kick off. I don't think I'm saying anything that's no, like, secret or anything, but there is a countdown, and it's all stuff like when the teams need to be there, when, like, referees will knock on dressing rooms and stuff. Like, there is a full scale... counting from about
military operation.
Yeah, and it starts for about like 12 o'clock or something. I know that goes to me, but when you start seeing like when teams should arrive for, when their warm-up starts, when the warm-up finishes, and this is like, I've had these conversations before, and I've probably mentioned on here, I mean, we're 203 episodes in, I doubt I'm saying anything that's new here, but you get to that, and this is the thing when it's timed, like, and obviously this year, the big pre-match change has been the match day playlist. So fans get to pick a lot of songs. It's not them all, but they'll get to a certain, it's about 45 minutes worth. And I always say, like, there was a guy that DM'd me, and he's like, I missed my tune. And I was like, well, Sunday's got to be on at 2 o'clock. Like, that's just the way it is. But he says he's going to pick a better tune. And I says, well, that's maybe what it is. But anyway, so, and that's kind of why, and then at halftime's the same, it's still the match day playlist. But when you get to certain time, and then you're trying to hit markers, what you do find, being the championship, it's a wee bit more chilled.
It's a bit more lax.
Because they weren't on time going out to the pitch. They were about 30 seconds late going out. TV games are like bang, like set.
Clockwork.
But even yesterday, you're just like, this is killing it. And that stoppage, which we'll get to, that kills half time because my timing's miles out. Because I'm going by a clock. That's a clock. 4 o'clock. Second half should start there a bit. It's about 10 past when it started yesterday. So there's wee things like... there's wee things like that seem to factor into how things change. But yeah, honestly, it's military timing. And that first, I mind the first time I seen the sheet, and I was like, oh, I'm quite worried about this. And I was like, wait a minute, this will really affect me. As long as when they walk out, the song has to play, the rest will be all right. But I can imagine what you were like.
Yeah, but it was none of my business. I was standing next to Lewis while I was hudding the thing that was getting unrolled, the banner. And I was getting involved far too much. I was like, you sure we're going to have enough time? You want to start unrolling that now? Is it the right way around? Are we upside down here? What are we doing? Do I stand in front of it? Do I stand behind it? I should have just shot my puss and enjoyed the moment, but I was flapping.
Because they'll obviously be told that because they've got a timing for it to be unrolled, it'll also have time for when it needs to be put back.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So there'll be things like that they've obviously got to get on top of at the same time as well. But I take it that whole time, although you're saying it was like 2 minutes to go, a bear went like that. Bear went really quick.
Oh, wow, it flew in, huh? Yeah. But it didn't stop my arse for twitching and sweating.
So, and I take it, once you roll up, you can just go back to your set.
Well, that was another issue I was getting involved in that I shouldn't have, but I was like, Lewis, what do we do at the end of it? Like, do I work with you, right? To the, he was like, just get to me. I was like, how do I get back to my set? He's like, just go back to your set. It's fine. Stop overcomplicating that.
I mean, I'll be honest, it does sound like you're trying to overcomplicate things.
I didn't half. But the banner looked great. The fan with the scarf up in the top tier looked brilliant as well. So hats off again to the boys. It's amazing what they do.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, let's get to the game. In the first half, what did you think?
I thought we started quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as intense as we did against Arbroath, where we kind of managed to keep that level of intensity going for quite a long while, if not the whole game, most of the game. But we weren't really creating that much. I don't think that the boy with the horrible goalie top and the shite socks, he didn't have much to do really.
Mm.
Although we had a fair bit of pressure down both flanks. I think Middleton he put a couple of bars in. Cujo now and again was looking like he might do something. And then, like, the game completely changed, it felt, when the injury happened to Sheep. And it was just through no fault of his own. I think the boy that he was marking, I've saw things online saying, oh, he was having a nightmare against the boy anyway. I watched the game back this morning. Like, the boy got past him once, and it was a bar. It was a good bar. Like, it was a bar in the channel that the boys run on. And you can maybe argue, well, he got past him twice. He didn't. The thing that Sheep got injured with was a long ball over his head, and when he's jumped up, he's done his groin. So I didn't think that Sheep was as bad as what I was reading on social media, but every now and again you get a player that just he's the target of the boo boys or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think's happening with Sheep.
So a lot of people going on about the substitution.
Yeah. I didn't think it was the right one.
But what do you do?
Well, that's the issue that we've got now is that we didn't have that showed a lack of depth in that position, because I think Sybald and Docherty were excellent against Arbroath, and I think as a pairing, the longer they're fit, the better we'll be. Grimshaw, when he comes in for one of them, in my opinion, at present, from what I've seen, it's a slight drop off. But it's absolutely manageable, because we're more than holding our own. Yeah. But then when you lose one of them and it's only Sybald here today, that sort of role, Young Arch, he can't do that. In my opinion, he can't do that. If you bring on Declan Glass, he can't do that. He doesn't want to do that. He just wants to get the bat and attack, which is great to watch, but it kind of upsets the rhythm of the setup of the team. So I don't know, Ken, maybe you would have put Denham on at right back, but is he a right back?
Well,
can he?
Well, this is the thing for me, that people are going to, you know, it wasn't the right change, we lost the balance. I'm just wondering, well, what is the change? Because people were saying Denham, and people might know a lot more than I do, which is normal, but I've never known him to be a right back. I thought he was just a centre half.
No.
So I don't know. Like, does playing a boy out of position do you any favours? I don't know. I just thought that, for me, that was the obvious change. Was going to be Grimshaw, was going to go there. Who went in beside Sybald? I think where Mikkelsen getting the shout shows where he is probably in the pecking order at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you are right. He will not do the same job as what Grimshaw, Docherty, Sybald will do.
Far,
he's a different type of midfielder.
Yeah, and it's not unfair to ask him to do it, because it's like he's a footballer. You know, there's nothing unfair about his life right now, you would think. But like in hindsight, I maybe would have went with the defensive player on the bench into the defensive position in the team and just kept that. Like, I think Denham's issue has been physicality and like high bars and whatever. And that's not a massive part of the game as a right back, I don't think, especially the way Dunfermline were playing. Like us, they were very wide. They were playing with a lot of width. And whether or not he would have been able to cope, we'll never know, because it didn't happen. But that change in the game, it definitely flipped it for us being fairly comfortable, looking quite positive, to us being overrun in the middle of the park, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Couple of chances were early. Tony Watt put one just past the post, desperate for a goal. Captain's armband on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a now showing that he's... I know he was obviously appointed vice-captain, but when he put that armband on, does it show the turnaround in Tony Watt in 7-8 months?
Well, maybe, and a lot of people.
Or the flip of where he was.
Yeah,
and well, no wanting to be here, kind of thing.
Of course, and we said last week that he's up until yesterday, he was certainly putting in performances that were decent, and he had said all the right things. He'd apologised to the fans, to apparently to the manager, the chairman. But yesterday wasn't his best game. I think that's fair to say. He looked all right at the start of the game, but then he kind of fell out of it, and he didn't. I don't know, Ken. He didn't. For a captain, I want him to grab the game by the scuff of the neck. But that never seemed to happen. You know, he's losing the back quite a lot, and he wasn't working as hard in my eyes as he did at Gayfield the week before. So that wasn't his best game yesterday.
First real chance actually came to Dunfermline as well. It was a good save for Jack Walton. And then on the flip side of that, I think Scott McMahon had two or three attempts. Kenan, I was desperate to press play.
He's desperate to score.
So am I.
And he's desperate
so
to score.
So are we.
Yeah. I think he's got the taste for it after that rocket.
Yes.
Doing at Gayfield. So yeah, but we'll see. I mean, it's not like he's taking shots and they're in danger of injuring boys in the stand or not. Like they're no far. Like they're on target or they're blocked whilst going on target. So I think it's going to come, like, and I think it's going to be a thunderbolt.
A waff of him, probably.
Probably. That's all right, as long as he scores. I'm not caring what it is.
Yeah. And like you say, there was chances were a wee bit few and far between, but obviously we had the injury to Sheep, and then we had the head knock between Declan Gallagher and Kyle Benedictus, which he then obviously went down, got himself sorted out, and then I think it was when Sheep had went down the second time when he come on, there was blood pouring everywhere out of his head.
Yeah.
And I always thought if you had blood in his tap, you had to change it. I think they didn't have enough taps for them. What was going on there?
Maybe the ref thought it was a part of the tap because their strips are bizarre.
But again, those stoppages, like I said, I mean, with the time, again, we know he's a fourth official, you don't know how much time was. Because that was a big break. And
yeah.
I mean, I'd argue that we were certainly on top at that point. We were certainly trying to create a lot more. And it just seemed to take the sting out of the half, because I thought the rest of the half was a bit meh.
But that suited them.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I'm absolutely no saying that they purposely received a head knock, but that suited them. To slow the game down, and like that, they done it all game. Like I watched the game back this morning. Their keeper was wasting time for 5 minutes in, 5-6 minutes in at a goal kick, busting about wee socks. It just kind of played into their hands, and once again the ref allowed it. But I thought, words I never thought I would say, but the boy Benedict Head was very good yesterday.
Like, very good.
I just thought he was like a jobber, like a run-of-the-mill League One, maybe Championship at best, centre-half, but we never got any change out of him, really. He marshalled Louis Moult handily, wee head knock. So, fair play to him, but that's all we'll say about him that's good.
How are you feeling at half-time? Frustrated?
Well, it was like the first half of two halves. Like, I thought we started well, but then we fell out of the game. It was still 0-0. Apart from that one save, and I know at the very start of the game, O'Halloran's had that run where Abdi's run away from him, and Declan Gallagher's thought, wait a minute, we're meant to stop this. And he's eventually turned round and stopped and took the bar off him.
Yeah.
But I didn't, they weren't doing anything that was overly concerning, I didn't think. But neither were we, really. I didn't think we were looking threatening up the other end. But it's nothing's up, it's a Championship game, you're at home, and of course you're still thinking, can this game's still here to be won.
And you were glad you didn't need dinner display.
Correct, because I couldn't have handled that.
Second half, we had a couple of chances early doors. I think Cujo had an attempt early on.
Just tipped over the bar, yeah.
Yeah, I think. And these were probably the for the frustrations in the first half when stuff like that wasn't really happening. It was going to need to take maybe just somebody to get a bar out of their feet and tap a shot and get it on, get on target. Because, I mean, yesterday, I think, scrolling forward a little bit, is we had more attempts at goal yesterday than we did last week. But again, we were a lot of wayward. But I've said it before, I'm actually delighted we're not trying to walk the ball into the net? Because how many times did we say that in the last few years? What would Dennis for?
Too many.
Like,
too many.
Hair short, listen, if it goes high, wide, whatever, you're hitting the attempts, and then they'll come, let's say, Scott McManus, maybe three attempts, hits the target once, Cujo's a couple of attempts, Sybald Hurdon, that I think near hit the chairman at one point, but it's getting into those situations to be able to take these shots and try to create these opening. Yeah. And, but yes, it's ultimately frustrating when it doesn't hit the target.
And if you didn't shoot, you didn't score. Like, we get that. But I think our problem in the last half hour of the game, certainly, was the fact that we were trailing. So they didn't know how to do anything. It's a lot easier to defend in football than it is to create. So they were just making sure that they had numbers back, trying to hit one on the break. They'd, after their goal, which we will touch on, like, they didn't really offer that much going forward, I didn't think. It was all us. We controlled pretty much all the ball. But shots were, kind of, were kept for distances, and we never really got many clear-cut chances.
The goal itself?
The goal itself, it felt like it had been coming, but when I've watched the game back today, like, it wasn't really coming. No. It's bizarre. I felt different watching it live, just because I felt like we had fallen out in the game. And the goal, it came right after both managers had been booked, and there was a throw-in. And I think they took the throw-in quick, because after the game, I've heard like about 2 minutes of what Goodwin was saying. And he's like, oh, we got caught on it, like a 2v1. We thought it was going to be a long throw in the
which they were doing. I have done in.
Yeah. But as the ref hadn't finished writing Jim Goodwin and James McPake in his book.
It wasn't McPake who got booked. It was Mackay who got booked.
Oh, well, Mackay then. Yeah. McPake.
Somebody may have told him to fuck off, but that's only what I heard.
Well, probably.
And rightfully so. They were at it for ages. It happened in the first half as well.
Yeah.
But with the head knock. That's when it first happened.
Yeah. Well, but you like to see that. I
love it.
I have no issues. No issues with
I'm just waiting on a sliding tackle or an elbow smash.
Yeah, well, give it time. Mm. Give it time, yeah. He'll look like he's going for to pick the bar.
So the referee, I never noticed this. So the referee's writing his book in it. So
Dunfermline take that quick throw and they take the short one to the boy, to the flat-footed Chalmers, and then the ref blows it and says, no, yeah, you've took it too soon. I'm still trying to spell Goodwin. And then they've taken it again, but they've took the exact same throw. Mm. So we just didn't switch on for it. Didn't switch on for it. In fairness to them, it's a great cross and it's a great header. I kind of moan about no blocking crosses, but there was nobody near him to block the cross.
No.
The disappointing thing would be that Craig Whiting has found a pocket of space in between Gallagher and Holt, but that's good play for him, I suppose. But that was the one disappointing thing. But his header itself, great header, and it went right in the corner. It went right in at the post.
So it's a good header.
Yeah, yeah. And any celebration, he obviously runs up to the United fans. I think he thinks he bothers United fans way more than he does. Yeah. Stevie May bothers me more than Craig Whiting.
Yeah.
100 times more.
It was funny to watch because obviously United had put up that it was 1-0 Dunfermline, and obviously you can't my jumps into the comments. It's the fun fans while their team are getting bit. For boys that clearly didn't bother going watch their team, I just find that amazing. I find that so funny. But it was a bit of a frustration losing that goal. Regardless if it's a good goal, bad goal, went off of somebody's arse, it doesn't matter. And it seemed to just be a bit of a how do we react to being behind after an hour when for the first half of the half, we were good, fell away, second half was a bit over the place, I would say. And it was like, right, are we going to grab this game by the bollocks or is it going to be frustrating?
Yeah.
And I would have to say it was a bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like, to me, watching it felt like we're never scoring here. I just got that feel. Like, I know that Young Ertz, he had a shot. Glass had a shot. Cujo.
McMahon had another shot.
McMahon had an effort. Sybald hit the chairman. But I just thought, this is end of these days. We're not playing great. We probably shouldn't have. We're no merit in losing, but they've scored, so like, fair play to them. I just couldn't see where a goal was coming for. So it was really frustrating because when you're in that mind space and any misplaced passes, you're like, oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
It's just no happening today. But thankfully, I wasn't playing, and the boys that were playing, they never gave up. They kept at it. They kept trying to create chances. Cujo, I thought, was always a threat. Middleton, he got subbed off, obviously. So did Watt. probably the right subs, because they weren't at that stage, they weren't offering near enough, if anything, at that stage of the game. You're never going to take Louis Moult off, are you? But he was never really in the game.
But I get it. And the flip side, I said this after the game, right? That see, like, see yesterday, Craig Whiting done nothing for me apart from put the ball in the net.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's for us,
yeah,
I'm quite happy.
Ah, man of the match.
And the name that came up for a player that done that out of their career was a boy we I hate that played for Kilmarnock and Rangers, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Chris Boyd did. That's how he...
That's what they get paid for.
Exactly. Yeah. So if Louis Moult done nothing that day...
And scored.
And he was the one that scored the winner, then...
Of course. Of
you
course.
Know, taps off. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But
he wasn't getting any change.
No.
Out of Benedict.
You know a frustrating thing for me, and maybe no as much last week, but we saw it in the earlier games and a bit of last season. It's like Glenn Middleton's not taking a man on. Not taking a man on just now.
I think as a person... He doesn't seem overly confident
at the minute, and he's a confidence player.
Just in himself, yeah. I've said it loads of times that I feel like he's got more than what he shows. But how do you get that out of him? Like, I just don't can, because he shows flashes.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like he could do something, and he will do something. He'll put in a great bar. He'll hit a good shot, but too often he just goes missing in games. Contrary to the boy that you choose not to like. Cujo didn't have his best game yesterday, far from it, but he never had.
He always wants the ball.
Oh, and it doesn't matter if there's one man, two men, nae man on him. Like, he's always looking for it. That the wee Pelly flick that he done where he scored it, he's chipped it over the boy and he smashed it. If that had went in, like, that's any of the best goals you'll see. But it just, again, like, just like half the shots or majority of shots yesterday, it went the wrong side of the post. But yes, he's always, you could tell just by listening to the pundits on the radio and opposition managers, like, he's becoming a guy that he's going to end up getting marked out of games, or at least they'll certainly try and mark him out of games.
Well, they went man marking on him.
Mm-hmm.
But the boy,
0-2
yeah. Over to basically.
He should have been on a booking.
I thought that as well, yeah.
Early doors, like, he smashes Louis Moult and then he chops down Cujo twice.
So, see, before we get to the goal, right, you're talking about him, we'd normally get to the ref, but you've brought someone up there. So the boy Chris Hamilton gets booked.
What an arsehole he is, by the way.
He gets booked, right? And deservedly gets booked because it looked a bad challenge. Tony Watt gets halfway an arm. And I thought Tony...
Slipped.
So I don't think it's a... I could see why the foul's given, but
of course.
Definitely why he's not being booked. Archie Meekison doesn't even touch him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing rolling about. And as soon as he realised he wasn't getting booked, he was on his feet.
Yeah.
Moan. And then there was another...
What a
arsehole he is.
He is, 100%. I knew his name was Hamilton. I didn't know anything about him. And that was the first time I'd ever seen him. And he's just a wee shithouse. He really is. It's just an absolute arsehole of a player.
Talking of shithouses, so you mentioned the goal earlier on, right? So 4 minutes, and this went on and on. And by the way, now, we're in past the 90th minute, and it's still going on and on. The referee should have booked him. When he warned him about the time in the 70th minute, he should have booked him, and he didn't, right? And he kept looking at the watch, adding it. Now, I'm like, well, we don't care how much time's going to add it on here.
Yeah.
It's funny, skipping the miss at short, the end up in the back of the net. But he was awfully quick to get the bar. I noticed that. It's amazing, that, isn't it?
He was trying to get the ball. Arsoles. Yeah, but it's...
But again, sure, another foot, would we have been like that? I would hope so. But that was like...
I've said it to you loads of times, Rondo. My issue isn't a wee the keeper ripping the piss out the referee. My issue is the referee allowing himself to get the piss ripped to him. Now, how much time did he add on? How much time did they waste? Like, does it correlate? Because there was subbies that were made, so you hate to add on half a minute per subby, I think that's the rule.
Yeah.
So, like, how much time did he actually add on for the time wasting? But so that you didn't get to that stage, a good referee should be like that, right? Again, it's the 34th minute, but you've done this four times now. There's a yellow card for your troubles. How many times do you see a keeper do it again, and then in the 88th minute or something, the yellow card comes out? Well, and that's pointless, because you've let him away with it again. It's absolutely pointless. But yesterday, he didn't even get to that stage. He booked a boy Fisher, because the bar went out for a goal kick. Louis Moult went to try and get it. The boy Fisher's passing the boot with it, and the refs booked him, which is deserved, but the keeper...
You can what else happened, if you remember that moment. So the ball then got put down on the spot and he moved it to the
other
side.
Of course he did. Yes.
Of course he did.
Of course. Yeah, but it wouldn't have mattered where Louis Molt had placed that ball. The keeper would
have. That was moving, yeah.
Of course. And then he fucked about with his socks again after it before he kicked the ball.
Yeah.
Their socks.
The goal itself.
Yeah, again.
We were grinding. We were positive. We were still going.
But I can't lie though, it didn't feel like it was coming, but we managed to still be up in their final third of the pitch. I can't mind who's played it into Cujo, but he's found himself in a wee bit of space. He's took a touch and he's just hit it. And where I sit, Rondo, as soon as he hit
right
it,
mind
it was it. The keeper was nowhere near it. He was never getting it. And it was, in my opinion, and I could be completely blinkered here, it was nothing more than we deserved or nothing less than we deserved, I thought.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying it would have been a robbery if we had lost that game, but like, we didn't deserve to lose that game. As poor as I think we were in comparison to previous weeks, where every week we were getting better, I thought, and yesterday it wasn't nearly as good as we have been, but we still didn't deserve to lose the game, so... an absolute raker for Cujo, who was brave enough to tap the touch to get into space and to hit it right in the top corner.
And I think that goes back to the thing we've said about it's nice to see people tatting shots, which seems a funny thing to say in football, but we've seen it so long.
Of course, when you watch a team for years that seem to try to whack the bat, when we're not particularly good at whacking the bat, it made no sense, but nah, he was brave enough to hit it.
What did you think of the image that's doing the rounds of Mr. McPake at the end?
Ah, well, I saw it because it takes bloody ages to get out of Tannadice. And I saw him gloating like one all. I've no issue. Like, he gets it tight for United fans. And anybody that gets it tight for any set of fans, I've no issue with him giving it back. But it seemed a strange way to give them it back. Like, away, one all. What do you mean, one all? Like, that's not a good thing for you guys. Like, you had 3 points in your back pocket like 2 minutes ago, and you've just let two of them slip out. So, what you're in a mindset of trying to get back at the fans that way for, I've no idea. But for as long as he lives, as long as he's in football, he'll always get stuck at Tannadice. That's just the way it is.
Never won a game as a player or manager at Tannadice.
Yeah. No, he's won a couple because he won two all, and I think he won yesterday one all, so. Yeah. I think your facts are off there, Rondo.
He said in his post-match that they deserve 3 points. And I find that really amazing.
Yeah.
Like, generally, for the ups and downs of our game yesterday, I cannot fathom the fact that we didn't deserve to get at least that point. Now, this is not being happy with a point against Dunfermline or a draw at home or whatever. It's given that 30 seconds before it, we weren't getting any.
And that's why he feels that they deserve 3 points. That'll be the reason, because you know yourself, that if you concede that late and you only draw a game, it feels like a defeat, does it? It really does. Whereas yesterday, I'm not saying it felt like a win, but can you felt a lot happier walking out that stadium than you would have if the ref had a blew his whistle a minute previous? So I could kind of see where he's coming from there. Like, of course, it probably feels like a defeat the way it's happened, but nah, if he was to watch the game back overall, he would see that a draw probably was a fair result.
Certainly, we've touched on a little bit in the way the team played and whatever else, but the captain was a massive miss for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge. Hopefully, it's just a minor issue that was keeping him out. I've heard it's a hamstring, but I don't know if it's a pull, a tear, a strain. I'm hoping that it doesn't keep him out too long. Fortunately for us, we didn't have a league game for a couple of weeks now before we head down to Somerset Park. One of his old stomping grounds. So yeah, fingers crossed, because I think we all think that he's a decent player, but I think he got even better in a lot of people's minds yesterday by his absence. Because it's when boys are not there, that's when you're like, right, okay, I see what he brings to this team now.
And of course, the Goonies never say die, as I said right at the top. But it was nice to see that they didn't give up, they kept. Although it could be frustrating, especially for fans, it'll be frustrating on the park as well. And
yeah,
I still kind of see how it can be a case of we are frustrated, but you know, the point at that late in the game, I'll take every day of the week, you know.
Yeah, of course. Before the game, if somebody says to you, you take a point today, then no, like absolutely not accepting a point against against Dunfermline at home. I'm not accepting a point against anybody in the league at home. But when you've got 30 seconds left on the clock and you've played it's about quarter of six at night, you're thinking, I would snatch your hand off for a point just now. And that's the way it came about. So, nah, you're no delighted with it, but you're a lot happier than you could have been.
Man of the match?
Well, it caused a wee bit of friction between a few people I noticed. You certainly weren't in agreement. And rumour has it you weren't even going to read it out.
Away.
That was doing the rounds in the lower Eddie Thompson after the game. But for me, anyway, it was between the defence, some of the defenders like Gallagher, Holt, I thought they were good. But I would have given it to Sybald yesterday.
Okay.
I could see why Cujo's got it. Because he is quite exciting to watch, and that might stick out in people's minds.
Bear in mind, he got up before he scored.
I know. but before he scored, he was probably about the only one looking like scoring. So I could see why he got it, but I don't think it was one of his better games. However, he rescued a point for one.
Mm-hmm. Right, time for some voicemails?
Let's do it.
All right, lads, Jimmy Hawk here. Just came for the game. I actually thought we were decent in the first half. Pish in the second half. I actually left before the full time, so I never even seen the goal yet. But total shithousery for them. Time wasting arseholes.
I mean, he's got a point.
He has definitely got a point.
And hopefully he's learned a lesson as well. Then I'll leave a game early.
Indeed.
You just never know.
You do. Yeah. And it's he's not the only one that left, put it that way.
I've done it. A couple of times, but the one that sticks in my mind, Rondo, mind we had Celtic a few years back at home.
Jeez, do you need to bring that back?
And it was two all, full time. I left it 2-0. I left in something like the 88th minute of that game, thinking we are never scoring. And I heard a roar halfway up the Provy Road when I was walking back to my old house. And I thought, fuck, I'll be 3-0 then. And then I gets in the house. And I was like, what was the score? 2-2. I was like, you're winding me up. To this day, I refuse to believe we didn't lose that game. There's no part of me accepts a point in that game because I never went.
When would that have been?
Effie Ambrose scored. GMS crossed at Effie Ambrose, Devon header, own goal. So GMS, what are you talking? 2011, 12, 13, something like that.
I'll need to check that because I'll need to check that up because that's quite amusing. Right, here's Callum.
One question. What the fuck are we putting a wall in a corner for?
It's true, yeah. I think watching it back, two men were obviously there because they had two men at the corner. But again, we did line up looking like it was a wall. And I think, I don't know why Middleton was like ushering Mikkelsen over towards him. Because it did look daft. Like, nobody has a wall at a corner. Because as soon as the boy hits it, it's over both their heads and they're out the game. I think it was there. To stop them
short corner.
On a short corner.
Yeah, exactly. You double up, don't you? Obviously, being a Saturday night, you may be in different locations when you decide to leave us a voicemail.
Hey, Stagger Sam's here. We're buying a fucking boozer. We're at HQ in the toes. Never see die attitude. Absolutely. Could you show? Get it up, Jim Leishman. Get up on the Fifers. Come on, Chad. Come on. On East Stagger Sam's. Come on. Yes.
Get it up, Jim Leishman. The airplane flying bozo.
I mean, thank you very much for such a wonderful message, class. For the boozer.
That's class.
Listen, you could leave us a voicemail any place.
Yes, but please do.
And indeed, any time.
Hi, it's Scott from Cooper here. Just to say, today we got away with one, to be honest with you, even though we had all the possession, everything else. It just proves the point for Miss Doherty, and also the point is when the substitutions are coming on, we don't have anybody in depth apart from the kids, and due respect to them, they've got talent but they haven't got the experience. So I think the point's going to have to be that we've still got a week or so in the transfer market. I think it's going to have to look for somebody to, well, let's just say, be that person to assist Malt, because the ball was not getting through to him at all today. And we just missed them from the midfield. Great podcast, guys. Cheers for that. Bye.
Depth ball.
Yeah, and like we, I said that after the Spartans game. Like I says, my concern this season is that we are relying on boys that are unproven. Like there's no experience there out with your Sybald, your Doherty, guys like that. But fortunately, it almost came back to bite you in the arse yesterday. But like the never say die attitude managed to salvage with a point. So Scott's got a very fair point. Whether or no we're bringing any more sort of depth, I've no idea. I know the gaffer midweek said that there's a possibility of bringing in one more. Christ, and that's we people still leaving. You know, like Emmy's no officially away yet. Last season's goalie, he's still hanging about on the wages. So I would probably argue that ideally you would want more than one more brought in, especially for depth reasons. But whether or not that's going to be a possibility, I don't know. Maybe that's why the chairman's here. Who knows? We'll see.
Very well.
Hi, guys. Just want to talk about the game today. And look, all I want to say is I'm no Pep Guardiola, right? Even I can see what the fuck is going on with these goal kicks. Just get a ball up the park and try to create something. Just slows the game down. It's not a fan, eh? So, what your thoughts are?
You're not a fan either, eh?
No, it's a nonsense. It's an absolute, it's an accident waiting to happen, Rondo. Like, we're going to get caught out one of these times, and fans are going to lose their shit at the players that have been caught out at Super Jack Walton in goal, or Declan Gallagher, or Kevin Holt. It's no their fault. This comes from the manager. He's clearly been telling them, this is the way I want to do it. And they even puss about with it. I don't know if you noticed yesterday. But obviously, the Holt goes to the left, Gallagher goes to the right, over the 6-yard box, Walton's in the middle, and he looks, and then he'll roll the bat of Kevin Holt. He doesn't even pass it. He's rolling it like, oh, I don't care if we'll tap the short end yet or no. It's we got away with it again, but I've said it for a couple of weeks now. I don't know what we're trying to achieve by doing that, because ultimately, like somebody'll hear a percentage on a laptop somewhere, but ultimately
speak to Lee Johnson, he'll can.
Oh, he no doubt he'll can about percentiles and whatever. But we end up punting the bar up the park anyway. Mm. So how do you know just get the bar up the park and then a possibility, and you get tell as a bairn, then a possibility with the bar in your own box. We are purposely pussing about with the bar in our own 6-yard box. It's madness to me, Rondo. Madness.
Waka waka waka. Hey, Daniel Cujo, hey, waka waka waka. What a wee guy he is, man, eh? Still think we're going to scoose the league. No point faffing about. Cheers for Big G.
Big G's going to be a weekly boy on this. Big G, it's Matthew Cujo. What? What's Daniel Cujo? What? Big G was going to the Ibiza thing last night. I don't know what time the voicemail was left. Maybe it was post Ibiza Orchestra doing its Lesser Gardens and he's had a few shandies. I don't know.
Did he see you in the slam tent there? Like,
he didn't see me in the slam tent.
Glow sticks
no.
A lot.
No, there was no glow sticks on me.
All right, it's Ross Ray Douglas, 20 pints deep. McNiggle, you're a legend.
There you go.
I mean, that's the most sense anybody's talked today, really. Really, that's spot on.
Spot on. Thank you very much to everyone who does leave us voicemails. We couldn't get through every single one of them, but we do appreciate people that take the time. And do, you can leave us one anytime you like, dodfoxpodcast.com. How do you then sum up these first two games so far, given we do have that enforced break next week, because we were half shite and half all right in the League Cup?
Yeah, well, last week was excellent. This week was below par, like I would say.
Did we see a different side of us?
Yeah, we did, but it wasn't the one that you want to see, because we struggled for a portion of the game, certainly. And I know that it's not all going to be in milk and honey like all season. It's not going to be like that, but it was slightly concerning, the drop off for Doherty being in the team to Doherty not being in the team.
Shows, like, I think when he come in, listen, we weren't assigning Kylian Mbappe here. Mm. You know, we weren't assigning these exciting talents. I mean, we signed Louis Moulton. Peter went, well, yeah, no, he might be no better to kick the ball and stuff. But Ross Doherty come in, and much as everyone else, I went, no idea. Because again, I wasn't watching part of this whole last season or anything like that. And,
yeah.
And same with like Grimshaw and whatever else. And Holt, didn't watch them, so didn't know. But I think him no being in yesterday showed maybe just how important he is to that team right now.
Well, to the way that we're trying to play. Mm. Because we in fairness to Goodwin, he has set us up to be a fairly attacking team. But when he was not there helping Sybald anchor the Hill fucking system, then it kind of fell down. Like, we didn't really create that much. I know that we've said that we've had loads of shots and whatever, but no, many of them troubled the keeper, really. They were all speculative. So that is a slight concern. But the 4 points out of the first six, it's not what I would have wanted, clearly, but it's what we've got. And I think there's only one team that have actually got 100% record, so it's not like we're trailing behind two or three teams already. Plus, mm-hmm. we're only two games into the season. I think we'll hit to play everybody once mm-hmm. before you actually get an idea of the story, what's going to happen and how Abdi is and what teams that you're going to hit to be concerned about.
Yeah, my favourite player, before my favourite player, Cujo scored yesterday. Duffin or top of the league?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they'll be there or thereabouts. But we're only two games in the season. You never know.
Duff, plenty of time.
They might fall away.
Plenty of time.
We might fall away.
we have found the game mm-hmm. that you were talking about.
Ah, the 2-2 game.
2-2 game.
I'm convinced never happened.
Who scored Celtic second?
I can't remember from memory.
Tony Watt.
Fucking hell. Can it was the reason I didn't like that boy.
Yeah. Scored an 80th minute and then you went, I'm out of here.
Well, honestly, 88 minutes I left. And then heard the
89, roar. 90.
Raging when I got him.
The game in question, it's November the 4th, 2012. United's lineup that day was Rado, Dillon, Douglas, Gunning, Watson, Flood, Rankin, Richie Ryan. Remember him?
I do remember him.
Stuart Armstrong, less said about him, the better after last week. Johnny Russell, John Daly, and on the bench we had characters and the likes. We had Banks, McLean. Best thing about Brian McLean playing for us?
Stephen McLean couldn't the referee.
Correct, right. Rudy Scatchell, Mark Miller, Michael Gardine, Gary McKay, Stephen, and Ryan Dow. But yeah, that was some game. I doubt I was at that. No, I would have been. Because I've seen the load of that season. No, I would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I might be left out.
Okay,
I don't really. I was working. I wasn't working. Oh, I didn't start until January. So 2013. Yeah. So I would have been either there and maybe Toys at the Pram, but no, I'm pretty sure I remember Big Effie. Big Effie, what a guy!
I can remember the goal in my head clearly now because I've seen it on the TV. You know, on the TV, but I didn't see it at the time. It was like yesterday. Like, I've watched it back. Obviously, this morning, yesterday's game. And when Cujo scores, like, there's no many people left. And I mean left in the stadium. Like, there's a lot of people have left. It's disappointing, you know.
I spied you for this in Chesterday. I was wondering, have you moved seats?
No.
Must be that heritage tap that you were wearing.
I was definitely wearing that New York Jets green tap.
I've never seen that.
That was beautiful. Yeah. Somebody come up to us and like, you said you weren't going to get that.
Correct.
It's like, don't listen to me. I'm a land git.
Man like McNichol, I thought, he's dripped right to drip check or whatever the cool kids say, apparently. Certainly it'll be us. What do we still need?
More depth, more experienced depth.
Where? And what in positions for you? Do you look for an armoured fielder or do you look for a right back?
How many are you giving us?
Well, I'll definitely give you one and I might give you a second.
If you want to give us one or two.
I'm definitely giving you one, but you might get a second.
Yeah, well, I suppose you could argue we've got a backup to Sybald and Doherty and Grimshaw.
Mm.
But we didn't have a backup right back then.
Mm.
So, and that was proven yesterday. And I still think that we're a bit light up front. We only Louis Molt up there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we've got Sadat and Aku. But again, like when you talk about inexperienced, that he is the very definition of that. And I know he got some minutes under his belt last season in the top flight, but it's not somebody that I'm overly comfortable relying on. Like he might turn into a player, who knows?
Still injured, isn't he?
Yeah, and again, like it was a bad injury. Christ knows how long he'll be out for. I think he done his Achilles or something. Mm-hmm. So I would probably, if you're asking me, if I'm only getting two players, I'm probably going like a right back and a forward. But I would try and squeeze three players. I would try and get some sort of midfield cover for like a Sybald and Doherty.
Okay. There's no game this weekend, so nothing to preview for. Well, I'm actually meh. And that's how I'm feeling next weekend, just meh. It's pretty shite. One thing that I'd just forgot about, but Paul Hudner was his good, bad and the ugly. Take it away.
No, I forgot about it last week, Rondo. And you gave us it tight, so. The good this week was Cujo's goal was a thing of beauty. He was quiet yesterday, but still looked the most likely to do something, and he took his goal with magnificent aplomb. The bad, the fact that we had only one player missing from the great performance at Gayfield, and the drop-off in performance level was very, very noticeable. I believe that we've got a good first 11 for this level, potentially a very good first 11, but our squad depth isn't great, as we've just spoke about there. And the ugly, start as you mean to go on, eh? The ref failing to clamp down on time-wasting for the Fifers is simply something that we will have to get used to. In a way, though, we bring it on ourselves by finding ourselves trailing in games. The amount of sock fixing and shin guard adjusting for the keeper and centre halves or anybody tarting a throw in or a free kick on Dunfermline's team was absolutely ridiculous.
So there we go. Right, let's go into our A to Z of Dundee United. Paul and I pick a player whose surname starts that letter. We'll plead our case on why they should be in our A to Z. We have to have seen them play in our lifetime. And then we stick a vote over on Twitter every Tuesday, around about 10 o'clock. Last week, it was a landslide victory. Mm-hmm. And I think there was the odd vote for Mr. Beautiful Tony Andrew, but Stuart Armstrong took A.
You'd done me... like a wee moral victory, we no putting Louis in the vote.
Well, the vote is going to change. So the two players we pick, both of us will go into that vote. Now, they could be the same. I get that. Mm-hmm. Today might be like that. Mm-hmm. But it's me to go first, right? But I want to give you some notable mentions.
Okay.
Because you get to a certain letter and there's going to be hunters, right? Notable mentions. And you might be able to whittle down where I'm going. Prince Bobbin. I've put him in B, but he could qualify for P because of the name. Gary Bolan.
Mm-hmm.
Rashid Baena, just because he was class.
Bonnie.
Callum Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Balotelli. But he's one goal.
Oh, he's one goal. He scored a couple of goals, but yeah.
Jordy Briels.
No.
And of course, Adam Barton.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So, I found this really difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really difficult.
I didn't.
You didn't?
Nah.
No. Oh, wow.
No.
Well, I did.
Okay.
So.
And this will be a landslide as well this week, I would imagine.
Oh, I don't think it will be.
I think it will be.
You really?
I think it will be, yeah. It should be.
I'm interested to see what you've got written down. Right, so my two players, because I'm going to give you two, because this is now the new rules that we've just made up. My two players include Hall of Famer, 429 appearances, and 12 goals. A podcast pal who I was amazed was the calmest on the touchline yesterday, Dave Bowman.
Mm. That's a good shout. He's not on my list. It's a good shout.
Fuck it. What?
He's not on my list.
I hope he erupts your post.
So do I.
My second player,
117
appearances, 47 goals, including two of the best goals I've ever seen at Tannadice, Craig Brewster.
Yeah, he's on my list.
Bosh.
He's on my list.
Right, well, we've done it anyway, because we're not going to need anybody else.
He's on my list.
Hold on. Well, B. I am give me a second here.
Yep.
B.
Yep. Come on. Think about things rationally now. I'll break it down for you.
Right, so Brewster's on your list.
Definitely
right?
On my list, yeah.
You want any notable mentions, or you just want to hit me with...
Nah, a notable mention, like, I had Butcher, I had the Prince, and also...
The Prince.
The rules are, we've got to have seen them
yes,
play. We've got to have seen them play. Jimmy Briggs, way before our time, but an absolute legend, a Hall of Famer. I think he went into the Hall of Fame the first time we ever done it. 401 games,
honestly,
33 goals, gunboat. You hate to mention Jimmy Briggs, but my other pick is Mark Gooden. Gooden, it's no him. It is Eamon Bannon, and it can only be Eamon Bannon, regardless of the fact that he went to speak to us, regardless of the fact that he's a jumbo. Regardless of the fact he apparently does not look back on his time at Tannadice with any fondness. And regardless of the fact that he was cheering on the Spartans in the first game of the season, because I seen him. Bannon played 440 times for the club, scored 108 goals, was part of two League Cup winning sides, a league winning side, literally scoring the goal that won the league, and was also a key piece in the UEFA run in 1987. I'm honestly no sure how it can be anybody else, Rondo.
Well, we'll see. So the name's going up on Tuesday for your vote. I'll be Brewster, Bannon and Bowman, who will take B and our A to Z of Dundee United. Anything on the women's team, Paul? They seem to have been signing players. There's people we can get in contracts for LinkedIn.
Well, we're almost back to normal. So we've got a very, very small loan report and then a wee bit on academy and a women's team. So
unbelievable. So Paul's turned up today.
So we'll go loan report first. So Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty Hearts. Lewis would again start on the bench for Kelty as John Rankin's once unflushable 11 were the visitors to Fife. Hamilton would run out 2-0 winners on the day, and Lewis got the last 5 minutes. So in both games, that's only about 10 minutes that he's played, so I'm hoping that that improves for the laddie in the coming weeks. The academy team. The young lads went down to Rugby Park on Friday, and if truth be told, they got a bit of a scalping. The team found themselves 3-0 down at half-time, and despite managing to score three themselves after the break, courtesy of Liam Trotter, Brandon Forbes and Greg Petrie, they couldn't keep the door shut at the other end and lost 5-3 on the day. The women's team. This week, Rachel Todd was named the new captain after Danny McGinley's departure to Hearts.
Boo.
Also this week, another signing was made as Niamh Noble was brought in on loan from Glasgow City until January. Niamh is a player that can play anywhere on the left side of the park. Today, as we are recording this, the team kick off their season with a trip through to face Brian Graham's Partick Thistle. It's a team that got the upper hand against United last season, and they'll be hoping to gain some kind of revenge for that.
That's it.
That is it, Ron.
Okay.
Very brief.
All the best of luck, by the way, to everyone doing the kilt walk next week, if you're doing it for the Community Trust, or indeed just in general, whatever cause or charity you're doing it for, we do wish you all the best. If you want to get more details on the Community Trust, dundeeunitedct.co.uk. And if you're interested in joining the foundation, of course, dusf.scot. A final bit of business then, Paul, would bring us to On This Day. In association with the Arab Archive, preserving the history of Dundee United Football Club since 2006. 14th of August, our focus. In 1982, we were on League Cup Group Stage Section 4 duty.
Jesus.
As St Johnston headed for Tannadice, Kirkwood, Dodds and Sturrock had the game won before half-time. And that was that. We were done. We're through. A Christian Daly double in 1993 was enough to get a 2-1 win away to Partick Thistle in the league. Signings. This first player, he was actually first linked to United in May 1985. It was rumoured he was going to come to Tannadice in a swap deal involving Ralph Milne. It obviously never happened, but 3 months later the midfielder was signed for £70,000. He made his debut on the 17th of August. Good day, that. 1985 against Aberdeen. He played a major role in United's midfield for the next 3 years, particularly on the European stage. Signed on this day, 1985, Ian Redford.
Mm. I mean, what a good player he was for the club. No doubt, sadly, no longer with us as well. I didn't know that he was potentially going in a swap deal with Alfie Mill.
Interesting.
I never knew that, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Things you learn on this podcast. No much.
Really, no much.
Sometimes. Next up, a man who needs little to no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. He missed only two matches throughout the 82-83 season as Jim McLean's great United side claimed the Scottish Premier Division title for the first time in the club's long history. He was an integral part of the side that reached the UEFA Cup final during the 86-87 season, missing only two of the 10 matches of that famous run. He became club captain in the late 80s and after collecting six runners-up medals in all competitions since that league championship win in 83, he made history by becoming the first Dundee United captain to lift the Scottish Cup in May 1994, making 830 appearances, scoring 26 goals. Signed on this day in 1979, our favourite Fifer, if you can have one, it's Super Mo, Maurice Malpass.
That was a good bit of business for the club getting him in. What a hero.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And a great guy.
Mm-hmm. And a part-timer at that time too.
Mm-hmm. When he won the league, yeah. Just a brilliant man as well. Like, and we've been obviously lucky. He sat on the couch. He's seen the Malpass fridge, the Heggie pile. He sat on somebody's couch. We've done a couple of live events with him, and he has been absolutely brilliant. So again, he was photoed yesterday with a couple of the legends and some people getting photos with and stuff, and still always seem to have that smile on his face.
Yeah, yeah. No, like we said at the time that we released the episode with him, he was a guy that I'd heard maybe was a wee bit difficult to speak with and whatever, but nah, like that's no my experience of speaking to Super Moa at all. He couldn't be any nicer. He's a right laugh. He's got a bit of dry sense of humour, I would say, but he's funny all the same. And when you pair him up with the goalie, Ald Hamish, like the two of them should be on stage.
Yeah, I think it was, I think I've said this as well, but when we were at the Legends Q&A at the Rep, I was speaking to him after that or whatever, and we were talking about the May event, because we'd obviously, we'd announced it now by then. And I says, oh, I hope we'll have a good night. And he was like, we will have a good night.
Yeah.
And it was, and again, on
and,
the.
And he did.
Yes. Have a good night. Yeah, they did. Yep. They really did. Even when he was trying to stitch us up at the start of the second half. But yeah, it was just a great guy. And I mean, what a career.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Two good signings on this day, that's for sure. Two good signings, yeah, massively.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that sometimes.
No, really, doesn't it?
I mean, there's been some scary ones this week when I've been looking.
It's going to roll around and you're going to hit we were, and on this day we signed Adam Barton. It's going to happen at one point and that will not be looked on as fondly as we are looking on these.
I wonder if it's the day.
It can't be.
We'll record this on the 30th, we'll click this button and see.
Go for it. Nah, it's not good.
There you go. Flynn Duffy's 20 today.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Flynn.
As we record this. There you go. So that is it. It's a free weekend. What is your plans? Let us know what you're getting up to. Again, you can drop us a voicemail anytime you like at our website, toadfoxpodcast.com. We're at Toad Fox Podcast on social media. Do have a great week. Stay safe. And don't forget, as always, to wash your hands and your arsehole.